Hello, VO, episode number 17.
Welcome to the Hello, VO podcast, plain and simple basics to get you started in the voiceover industry with masterclass instructor and voiceover actor, Lisa Foster.
All right, this is a special, very special episode with a very special person that I'm really delighted to have on my Hello VO podcast, because first of all, he's super smart and he has been very patient with me in terms of technical questions that I have around a variety of things. But in particular, we're going to talk about the technical aspects of podcasting. And in voiceovers, I get a lot of questions about podcasts and how do I do them and what's entailed and all the things. And so this is going to be a two-parter. The first part, I'm going to have my guest today, who is Dave Tavers, and he's going to talk about the technical stuff. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
And then the second part we're going to have is going to be next week about content and performance. So those are two different areas that I want to make sure we get you guys information on in terms of all things podcasting. I, of course, have this podcast, Hello VO, but I got to know Dave. You and I connected. I'm almost going to say, was it 12 years ago?
I think 12 is about right.
I think it was about 12 years ago when my radio partner, former radio partner, and I decided to launch a podcast called Peculiar Podcast. So we had this idea about content, but we didn't know the first thing about what. How do you make it go out there? That's how dumb we were. We're like, how do we make
2012,
it go?
That yeah. I mean, podcasting was still really new.
It was. It was still in its infancy. And now everybody is interested in podcasting. And that's why I thought it'd be really valuable to have you come on. Because people ask me these questions all the time. I go, I don't know. You're going to have to talk to my friend Dave. He's the one who helped me do this. So you actually helped us launch our podcast and all the technical things that were required. Because do you remember the first time you and I were on the phone?
Are you sure you want to talk about that?
Yes, I do. Because I said to you, I was so frustrated trying to do the research on my own. And you were so calm and so wonderful, just walking me through everything on how to get the feed going and the website and all the stuff. And I remember saying to you, I go, you are one of the few men that has made me stop crying. Because most men make me start crying. It was great. And we've had a friendship ever since. So it's been really lovely. So,
well, and to top it off, that first phone call and those first few calls, we literally did not know each other. I listened to you and Pat on the radio for years when I lived in Seattle. And then I had a connection with Pat via email. That's a separate story. And he says, hey, could my co-host call you?
Because she's crying.
Yeah. I mean, almost, I think that's exactly what he said. And we get on the phone call. I did not know you. And it was like, hello. And you, yeah, the frustration you had was at, you know, 98% at that first call. And you were very nice, but.
So, So my gratitude towards you and having this, your. First of all, our friendship, but then just having somebody to go to. And that's what this podcast episode is about, is having somebody to guide you on these things that you know what? I always tell people, all the answers are on the internet. You can go find them. It might take you 10 years to do it, but you'll find them all. Yeah. But why not just have somebody who knows what the heck they're doing and help guide us? So that's what this episode is about, is the technical aspects of podcasting. And I know that you have a website for people who need help with that. Feel free to plug that right now, and then we'll get into some of the things that you do help people with and what they need to know about starting a podcast.
Crap, I'm so sorry you have to edit. I can't remember what is the...
No, and you know what? I'm not editing that. It is called yourpodcasttutor.com. I can't believe I have to tell you what your website is, Dave Tavers. But I love how you just had a brain fart like right there. We roll with this. We don't edit that out. Okay. So you want me to tell you your podcast? You want me to tell you your website, Dave?
Thank you. Yes.
It's called yourpodcasttutor.com. Not tutor, T-O-O-T-E-R. Tutor, T-U-T-O-R.
It's T-U-D-O-R, right? It's only for royalty only.
Don't do that. So yourpodcasttutor.com. And I really love this because, and so I encourage anybody who wants to get some assistance, guidance, or just even a consult with Dave, go jump on this. We're going to give you some ideas and help today, but this is a really comprehensive way to go about figuring out how to get your podcast out there and get ears on it. You can have all these ideas in your head, but if you don't have ears on it, it's not going to work. So that's your whole goal, is to get people to get an audience, correct?
Well, to get, yes, get your audience set up.
Right.
Actually, no, it's not to get an audience. It's to get the platform set up. Then it's up to you to find your audience, meaning you have to do social media posts and all the other things. This is literally what you and I did 12 years ago. It's
right.
Most people have absolutely no clue how to get a podcast going. You know, you got to have a microphone and have some content to record. Then what do you do with the file?
Right. That's where I was stuck when I was starting to cry. Cause I'm right. Like, Pat and I, you know, we've done radio for 12 years. We are all about talking. We know microphones. We had that down, but what we didn't know was, all right, we have this great little episode or this little show. How do we get it on the internet into the ears of the peoples? Yep. So that's where you come in, because you're not really going to be teaching anybody what to say or what to do. And you know, most people have an idea of already what they want to do. You're now the next step of, now what do I do with this audio? So right. What's the first thing people need to know? Or let me back up first. What do you think is the most common thing people ask you when you're helping them get this little puppy off the ground?
I would say it's, what do I do with the audio file now?
Got it.
And there's several ways to do that. Depending on how serious you are, if it is just for fun and you're not trying to monetize it, you just want to get something out there, there's a dozen platforms where you can go on to Spotify and upload your audio file and fill out their form, and great, you're live.
Got it.
You don't have a lot of control over that. That's your one platform. All of the stuff that I've done, whether it's with you or anybody else, I'm on 12 different podcast platforms because the way the technology works, it's intended to be broadcast on multiple platforms, not just one.
So when you say platform, I'm going to want to make sure everybody's kind of speaking our language. You're talking about, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not really trying to lead the witness here, but I just want to make sure, when you say platform, you're talking about things like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts,
Spotify.
Right.
Exactly.
There's a ton of different podcast platforms that you have to, they don't just find your podcast. You've got to submit it and get it on their platform. That's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Got it.
I will say it's better if you submit to all those platforms. Some of those platforms will find your feed. The broadcast is called a feed on the technical side. Mm-hmm. Kind of like, think about if you do Twitter or Facebook, when you're scrolling, that's a feed. So it's the same idea of, if you're on any of these platforms, people can find your feed on that platform.
Do you, I think I am begging the question here, because I think I know the answer, but I could be wrong. Do you have to have a website specific to your podcast to have a podcast to leverage the success of that, or?
No.
I mean, I know I do. I have Hello VO, and then I also have, we all have peculiarpodcast.com. That's our website where we load our episodes on there as well. So people can go to our website and actually click and listen to an episode.
Right.
Do you have to have a website?
You don't. And this is why at the beginning I started with the word control. If you want control over your content and you want to be able to do more with it, meaning that it's not just for fun, then I recommend a website. Yeah.
And that's something you help with, because that's a lot of people are like, look, I got a great idea for a podcast. It's going to be hilarious. But then they start to melt down when they're like, the technical side, what am I doing?
Right.
So you help with that very first step too, of just getting a domain, right?
Yeah. Getting a domain name, right? www.hellovo.com. Everybody knows that. Now, the reality is most people just go to Google and search hellovo.com anyway.
And right, it'll now, just pop up.
And it pops up. If you go search for your podcast tutor on any search engine, the first result's going to be my helper site.
Yeah.
And that is a way that you can control your content. You host your audio there. You can put up, that's where you can put banner ads, or you can put other content links and information. If you use, and there's nothing wrong with Spotify, Stitcher, Podcast Republic, any of these other platforms, those places are designed to basically just be the audio host.
Right.
You can put notes and some things on your podcast, but you can't put other content there.
With your own website, you can put, you know, pictures and blogs. I mean, you can do a bunch of stuff on that, but you can't do that if you're on a what we call, make sure I'm saying this right, a podcast hosting site.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
and it used to be podcast hosting sites cost more money. Now places like Spotify and Pandora, they let people upload audio.
That's where I got stuck, because I didn't understand the difference between having my own website with my content available there versus a hosting site that was going to restrict me. So
12 years ago, none of that wasn't a thing. So that's drastically changed. Yeah. In just the last 5-7 years.
Okay. So one of the things that I love about what you do is that you will help people set up the hosting, set up the website. And also it's the whole, you know, teach a man to fish thing that you do.
Yep.
Which I love. And
not everybody loves that.
No, I know. And your whole goal is, I'm not going to give you the fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish so that you can sort of be independent on getting your podcast loaded, whether you're doing a weekly drop or a monthly drop or whatever it is. So your whole idea is to teach them how to fish so that they can be independent in making sure their podcast is running smoothly. And that, walk us through the three simple steps of what that is in what you do.
What I do, well, teaching someone to fish is, first you have to have, if you're going to do a website, even if you're not, I can teach you how to use the free hosting sites.
Right, right.
It's just walking you through what each one of the boxes mean. What do the check boxes mean?
Right.
Once you get that initial setup done, whether it's free hosting on Spotify or your own website, that's the hardest part, getting things set up. After that, you still need to know how to attach the file and what size audio to when you dump it down. You do not want a 320K audio file, because then a 30-minute podcast episode is 190 megabytes to download, which is not needed. It kills people's download on their phones, things like that. Voice can just be done at 64K is plenty for doing these kind of shows.
Okay, you're getting a little technical, Mr. Dave Tavers, which, you know, I always stop you on.
Yep.
So this brings up a good point. So they don't need to know that stuff. I mean, you're going to pretty much say, you're going to give people an idea of, here's your website. You're going to make it easy for them to publish their show. And then once the website's live, you'll get them connected on all these podcast networks and apps and teach them how to upload their show and their content so they can do it going forward.
Yeah.
But this, you just said something that I don't even know, because I don't understand this. And I'm so glad I have you to be my podcast tutor right now. I have a friend, you know her, Trixie Troxel, and she downloads our Peculiar Podcast episodes. So every time Pat and I drop an episode, which feels like once every 5 years now, I'm kidding, but she downloads it and plays it. I've never downloaded a single podcast episode. I follow a ton of podcasts, and I just go to Spotify. I go to my favorite podcast show. I see the new episode and I hit play and I play it. What's the difference between that and downloading?
What people don't realize is whatever podcast app you or anybody else uses, it's doing that in the background for you. It's downloading that MP3 file, the actual audio file, under your phone.
Just
Yes. It's just downloading it into a section for that podcast app, whatever is on your phone.
Okay, you but it's not saving it and it's not eating up my memory.
No, it is. I'm going to say most of those apps are doing that, because streaming audio requires you to have a constant high resolution connection. Even if you use Netflix or any of these television streaming shows, even they're buffering, they're downloading 10 minutes at a time of video, so that the best quality is there in case their servers are slow. You're not getting blocked. So podcast apps are doing the exact same thing, but usually because podcasts are only 10 to 60 megabytes, which is fairly small, it can just download the whole thing and then it's on your phone. You can stream, but
yeah. So I guess that's the difference is I'm just streaming it. I'm not hitting the download button. I'm just streaming it and listening to it. It's not something I care to go back to. And
that's the thing. You don't need to, you don't even need to worry about it. It's automatic.
Got it. Okay. All right. So when we talk about the technical aspects of getting a podcast going, what would be your best advice for somebody who, you know, I just talked to a gal today. She's very sweet. And we're talking about voiceovers and her big concern was, you know, I'm just not technically savvy. And I said, you know, it's all stuff that's learned. What are the basics that people should at least have when they come to you? Like what's the bare minimum they should be well versed in, do you think, to be able to be successful with being able to sort of manage this sort of technical side of podcasting?
Well, as a pretty hardcore geek, I'm happy that it works for people. I could not do it myself, but you could do your entire podcast recording and publishing on your smartphone. There's so many of these platforms now that they're all built in one. You can do the recording and hit, give it a name and say publish on your phone and it goes. It works. Again, this is why I keep coming back to what's your level. If it is just you and a buddy talking about the latest sporting event and you are not trying to grow an audience, you're not trying to sell anything, you're not trying to become fine, do that. It works fine. If you want to monetize, you want to make
money, kick it up a notch,
then you should have a website so that you can tell people, have your social platforms set up. Write more content. It's not just the audio. You should be writing other things so that it gets out on the interwebs.
On the interwebs. Yeah. How many, you have a couple podcasts. Go ahead and tell everybody what they are.
So going back to with you and Pat, shortly thereafter, I bought my dream car finally, and I bought a DeLorean.
Yes.
And turned out that there were 9-10 years ago, there were no podcasts about the DeLorean car. So I started a podcast, did the same thing that you and I are doing now. I just started interviewing owners. If you're not a DeLorean owner, you're not going to care about the content.
Right.
But I got into doing exactly what you and Pat were doing, which was creating the content, having the website, having all these cross promotion all over the place. So DeLoreanTalk.com is one of the podcasts.
Hey, am I on there? Did you hire?
Oh,
Didn't I do a voiceover for you?
You
on that?
Did
on your intro, on your introduction.
Yeah, the intro and the. I don't think you're on the outro. Just on the intro, it is you. That's right. Yeah, you. Welcome to DeLorean Talk with your host Dave Tavers.
So yay!
That's your voice is still on there. I still use that intro.
That's a voiceover,
and that does. You know, that goes back to talking about that intro again. It's technical. A moment ago, you said, "What are the basics?" Mm-hmm. You could do it all on your phone. If you're just doing a real basic boom, you start talking. If you want to do that fun intro music, a bumper music on either end, you need to understand a little bit about audio editing. Can you do it on your phone? I'm sure there are people that can. I could because I'm a geek, but it's a lot better to do it on a computer where you have intro music, outro music. You might have little sound effects, things like that. So depends on how serious you want to get.
So I love that you brought that up because I have an audio podcast editor who will take out, he's not going to take out the mistake of you forgetting your own website, because I think that's hilarious. But I send him all my raw audio and I pay him a small fee to do it. Because it's very, so when we talk about the technical side of editing content, you will often be in the edit bay 3 times longer than it took you to actually record the thing. So that's something that I just don't want to spend my time on. And it's my time and the content that I'm offering is more valuable. And so I have a guy that I adore who edits all my podcast content. He puts the intro music that you guys heard at the very beginning of this episode and the few little sound effects and then the outro. And what's funny about my intro, the voice for that, my intro on this podcast hello, VO, that nice deep voice. That's a former voiceover student of mine whose voice I just loved. And I said, hey, I'll give you your first voiceover job because I just believed in him so much. So anyway, so that's why I didn't call you. I know. I don't know why, but he just needed a break and you didn't care about voiceovers.
I'm teasing.
But anyway, so, but the editing part is something that you want to make sure that and on our peculiar podcast, Pat Cashman, who is fantastic at, been doing audio production since way back before electricity was even invented. And so
he loves it.
He's really
passionate. So and again, that is a big thing. I say that with all technology.
Mm-hmm.
If you're passionate about it, you're going to figure out how things work. If you don't care about it, then hire somebody or don't go to that level.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing people often think, I have to do everything. You can if you want to take the time. But if you don't, like me, I hate editing. I hate it. I don't know why. I hate it. I hate editing out my mouth noise and my breath. Yeah. I hate all of it. And I hear myself yap enough as it is. Do I really want to go back and listen to myself yapping again a second time? No. So I hire I got him on Upwork. And he's very, very affordable. And I send him batches of audio. Like this episode is going to be combined with the next episode that I did. I just did an episode on audiobooks that I'll send him all three of those. He'll take care of them. He'll upload them. He knows the proper, what were you saying? The KP, the
kilobits per second. The file size.
He's because you told me that. So I just told him that. So now I know I get all my audio back. And then you taught me how to then go into my website and load that particular content and bam, make it live and voila, there it is. I really love the guidance you gave me. And one of the things that I appreciate about you is you don't get too far into the weeds on things. I think sometimes people can get a little too technical. I love that you've got this real techie mind, but you understand that we start with let's plug in the computer.
Right.
That's what I love about you. Yep. No matter what I call you about, you're like, is the computer plugged in? Okay, let's start there and move forward.
It depends on the person's interest, passion. If you tell me you know nothing about computers, I'm not going to explain lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. If I can see the way you're using your computer and I can tell you're not techie, then there's no point in me explaining things that are too technical. It's just noise.
Right.
So it's figuring out the audience. And at that point, it's training, it's teaching, it's figuring out. It's one-on-one. This is not a giant classroom. So it's tailored to what you need to get done what you want to get done.
Right. And I love that you know all things about it. What would you say, because I know you and I worked a lot on 12 years ago on getting Peculiar Podcasts, the website and the RSS feed, and even training me on how to not rely on you to get all this done. If somebody was to come to you now and said, all right, I've got the content, how long will it be? How long do you think? And I know you're going to say everybody's different, but how quickly can you get somebody up and running to where people are listening to their podcast?
It could actually be, if you had a completed, ready to go audio file, you could get listed in 15 minutes, and then send that link to one of your friends. At that point, if you're trying to go that fast, it really comes down to the podcast platform, if how fast they make it available. And I don't remember, you know, there are so many of them. They're all different, the platforms. Some of them are really quick. Others take a couple. I think Pandora is one of the most frustrating. It takes a few days for them to validate and verify. Same thing with Podcast Republic. But anyway, or Radio Public, one of those.
And you've got a list of all these podcast platforms there. I think really what I was actually asking, Dave, was with somebody like meets with you and then goes through the steps of what they need to get done, are we talking a week, 2 weeks to where they're kind of finally be able to, from beginning to end, get their podcast out there? Or is it more closer to a month?
Honestly, I would say 1-2 hour, 3 hour phone call and if you have the completed audio, that's all it takes. And then after that, it's just promoting your show. And that's why I say there's more to it than just putting an audio file up there. Now,
go ahead.
I would say if you're a celebrity or something, that's fine. But if you're a normal person, you have to promote. You can't just assume people are going to find your show.
Right. Can I go back to the basics too of audio? I talk a lot on Hello VO about audio equipment requirements, broadcast quality audio, all the things that we use in the voiceover industry. And I'm sure I'll get into this with our next episode on actual content. But this to me falls under the technical umbrella. I tell my voiceover students when we're getting into audio production for film, broadcasting, terrestrial radio, TV, there's another level of audio required than just beyond a USB mic.
Right.
Now, but I do tell people that USB mics are fine for podcasting and they're fine for YouTube and they're fine for Facebook and they're fine for that. So that to me seems pretty easy for people to get a microphone, plug it into their computer. Do you help them beyond that in terms of showing, I mean, will you add that in as well if somebody needs training on how to record or no? Is that not your area?
I can.
Yeah.
It's not very difficult.
Yeah.
It really is being in a quiet place and having a couple of pieces of hardware.
Right. And software.
And software.
Yeah. Yep. So I would say, and I don't know if you agree, but I think, so we're using, you and I right now are using, there's a lot of platforms to have guests on. It was so, oh my God, you and I were talking about this before on how hard it was because Pat and I used to be living in the same vicinity. So he would come over to my house. So I had to clean my house because Pat Cashman was coming over. And I had two microphones set up through an audio interface and headphones. And we sat at a table just like we were together in the radio station. Well, then he decided to move and he moved out of state. And then all of a sudden it was like, how are we going to record a podcast when we're not in the same room? And back then there weren't a lot of options. And I remember you and I were talking about this the other day. What did we end up doing? I can't even remember what we ended up doing.
At some point we used Source Connect Lite, which is a professional software for VO and singers and actors who are doing remote voiceover recording and looping for movies. That it's literally a professional package. They had a low end version. That was one of the tools we tried. And part of this is I love Pat. He is not very technical. So trying to get something that worked for him, you're technical. You can figure things out.
Yeah.
He had issues. So we kept working through trying to figure out what was going to work the best.
Right.
Obviously, that's if you're trying to do remote. But as you mentioned, we were laughing because 10 years ago or 9 years ago when that happened, there was not 25 options. And now there are so many solutions for doing remote podcasts for 2, 3, 5, 8 different people can join in if they're using a phone or a computer, video and audio.
And you don't have to be in the same room because
you don't have to be in the same country.
I'm in the same. I'm in Seattle. Where are you?
Marceline, Missouri, middle of nowhere. Walt Disney's hometown, Marceline, Missouri. Yeah,
which is why you went there because you a huge super fan. So,
and again, I lived in Seattle. That's when I heard you guys on the radio and watched Pat on the TV show. And then from LA, I moved to LA. I lived in Las Vegas. Now I'm in Missouri. So it doesn't matter. I can do it from anywhere.
Yeah.
Actually, hey, I just wanted to throw that back out there. One of the other shows that I helped Pat with, I kept bugging him.
Mm-hmm.
No offense. I think you were on one or two episodes of Almost Live.
I was on several Almost Live episodes. So
That show was like 15 years, right, or something.
Not one or two. Yeah, no, it aired in Seattle back in the 90s, a local comedy sketch show called Almost Live, which was sort of a take on Saturday Night Live. And it actually aired right before Saturday Night Live aired on Saturday nights here locally.
And it was, they repeated that show until, 5 years ago? It's been off the air for 15.
But no, you're talking about syndication. Like,
yes.
Syndication and comedy shows. But so then your idea was awesome to revisit those cast members from back
And that
then.
Was, again, you and Pat doing Peculiar Podcast. You guys know radio. He knows radio. I said, Pat, all these people that were famous in Seattle, mm-hmm. they're all still around. You should interview them. So I helped Pat get that set up. So almostlivestillalive.com
has I love it. It's such a great
20 or 30 episodes of Pat interviewing the cast members. And they're not 10 minutes. They're really fun.
Yeah.
A lot of people on there.
They're really fun. And then don't you have another, do you have another podcast that you're doing?
We just started. We had our episode zero, which is just the intro, called Plaid Stories, plaidstories.com, which is, I used to be a tour guide at Disneyland as well. I was a history mm-hmm. tour guide, but when you were a tour guide at Disneyland, it really meant something in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. So Plaid Stories is same thing. Two or three of us on the phone talking about our time at Disneyland in guest relations, City Hall, talking about all the fun memories that we had and all the fun stuff, helping guests and making magic for people. So we That's just started great. That. There's literally one episode as of today, one episode up there, which is an intro.
That's really great. And that's Plaid Stories, plural, .com. Fun. Yep. Okay. So back to sort of these platforms where we have the opportunity to pull in a guest, you know, Zoom, I was a guest on somebody's podcast last week or a couple weeks ago. She just did a Zoom call and recorded it.
Yep.
And that's what she used. So that's one way to connect with people. I don't want to be plugging a bunch of platforms here because they're not paying me a penny. In fact, I'm paying them. So, but I do love the one I'm on right now, which is Zencastr, which you turned me onto, but they don't have a free version anymore. So some of these websites or ways that you connect with people do have a free version or a light version, like you said, and that's something else that you can help people with on
sure.
getting set up. Okay, good. I just want to make sure people have that opportunity to do
that. I'm a pretty big geek, so I know lots of this stuff. I know probably more than most people, normal people, but I can help anybody figure out a solution that's going to work for them.
I love it. And I love, yes, you are a geek. You, though, have taught me so many. This is what I love. Like just a little, like we'll get on the phone. And I'll go, I'm so tired of having to fill in the blank, whatever it is. And you're like, Lisa, I have a shortcut for you. Get on your computer. And then you screen share with me and you show me the funnest things. So I've like learned ways to manage my life, my Google calendar, my Gmail. You're a Google king, you know, all the things. And so I love that you have so many different ideas to help people. So that's the thing too, for anybody coming to you, don't be afraid to say, I'm struggling with this, because you probably have a simple tip or solution.
Probably.
For them. So,
yeah.
Okay. I'll let you wrap up with anything else you think people brand new to podcasting, the tech side, need to know or might be helpful. And then we'll, I'll give your website again, because I'm sure you've forgotten it by now. anything else you want to add?
I'll restate the same thing. If you're passionate, you have some technical skills and you want to do that, dig into it. Whether it's me or somebody else getting you started, there's a million YouTube videos that will help you on how to get your technical stuff set up. And if you're not technical, but you want to go bigger, then literally hire somebody. Find
right.
somebody or get a friend, a neighbor, a grandson, a parent, whatever, somebody who is technical and work on it together. You'll have a good time doing it together and you'll probably learn something along the way.
I am going to comment on that comment, sir, because when I started in voiceovers a million years ago, there wasn't a whole lot of info out there, but there was a book called, oh, I remember I was trying to learn Pro Tools, which any of my
wow.
listeners who are listening to this, do not ever, I mean, ever, ever,
yeah,
ever buy Pro Tools and try to
no.
learn. But
no. Agreed.
Here's the deal. That was the only game in town back in the day. Pro Tools was the go-to editing.
20 years ago. Yeah.
Yes. Software. Well, it is extraordinarily difficult and cumbersome, and it's just a nightmare. It's a big dinosaur. It's awful. Well, I had nowhere else to turn but to learn it if I wanted to do voiceovers from my own home.
Right.
Right. So mm-hmm. I bought a book. I bought a book called Pro Tools for Dummies. Do you remember the For Dummies oh, series?
I started writing one a long time ago. Yeah.
You did?
Never finished it, but I started.
Okay, I love them. That's how I learned Windows. I was a self-taught when computers came out mid-90s. I was the first person in my friend group to learn it because I did a Windows 98 for dummies or whatever it was. What was the first incarnation of Windows? Was it Windows NT? Was it?
No, well, Windows 1.0, but Windows 3.0, Windows 3.1 was what home users started using. And then got Windows it. 95.
Windows yeah. 95. So that's the one I started. So I got a Windows 95 for Dummies book and I taught myself and then I taught all my girlfriends. So anyway, so I bought Pro Tools for Dummies 20 years ago. This book, I am not kidding you, is as thick as a phone book, if anybody remembers what a phone book looks like. It was huge. And so when you said, you know, you can go to YouTube and all this, my problem was, sure, I could read through the whole book, but it didn't pertain to what I just needed to know, which was right. only about voiceovers. So after crying, which is what I do when I get frustrated, I cried a lot, I had the brilliant idea of, you know what, I'm going to call my local studio, a recording studio here in town. And I'm going to ask them, is there an intern there that I can hire for $50 an hour to come to my house and just show me what I need? So I wrote my own manual. I said, I don't need to know everything the book is telling me because I'm not going to use half of it, but so I need to. Yeah.
Now your website is protoolstutor.com, right?
No, what's great is I just had the guy come in and tell me, I said, all right, here's what I want to do. Start with, how do I launch the program? Next thing I want to do is, how do I do one mono track? Not a music track. I'm not doing music. I don't need right. to know how to mix all that. So my point is, for you, this is where you come in, where it's so much more streamlined. If somebody comes to you and says, this is where I'm at and what I need to know, it's going to save them a boatload of time. So yep. I'm saying, don't
and
go
frustration.
To you. And frustration and tears, quite frankly. I've shed many tears that I didn't need to. So anyway, I'm so excited. Okay, so everybody, if you do want to get the technical side, it's so easy. Dave will walk you through everything you need to know. Go to yourpodcasttutor.com and you have an email or a contact thing on here, don't you? I'm just scrolling down to look. Perfect. Okay. Dave Tavers. Everybody thinks that's spelled T-A-V-E-R-S. It is not. It's very fancy. It's Dave Tavres, T-A-V-R-E-S. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I know you and I got a couple things we got to work on after the podcast too. So sure. Thanks for being my guest, my friend.
Thanks for asking me. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of Hello VO, I'd love to talk to you. So take advantage of booking a short one-on-one consultation call with me. I'll evaluate your voice and give you some guidance on voiceovers. So head to lisafoster.com and click the Voice Evaluations tab. It's free. I'll send you a link to grab a spot on my calendar so we can talk about talking.